Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, September 24th. I'm Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets today, and joining us is Dr. Susan Sekulli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland at Mechanicville, and Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, a very relaxed retired vet who used to work at Del Mar Animal Hospital. So if your dog has a painful goiter, or if your cat is aloof and disinterested, or some other malady, give us a call, 800-348-2551. It's Pets and Vets today, 800-348-2551. Usually a popular program, so call early, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Sekulli and Dr. O'Loughlin and your pet questions coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff, Pets and Vets today, and here to take your calls, Dr. Susan Sekulli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland at Mechanicville, and Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, now retired from the Del Mar Animal Hospital. You know, I've rarely seen anyone more relaxed. She's like Dean Martin now, although presumably sober. Dr. Sekulli is a vet who has been specializing in feline care for years. She focuses on the entire cat's health, addressing behavior and nutrition while providing medical and surgical care. In October, Susan will celebrate the 31st anniversary of the opening of Just Cats. Amazing. Dr. O'Loughlin is a graduate of Cornell University, and great to have both of them here today. The number to call is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 if you have a pet question, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Carrie O'Loughlin, I see every day now.
I know. Thankfully, I happened to be here answering phones yesterday, and you
thanks for doing
said
that.
You needed a fill-in.
In the lockbox. Yeah, and I walked over and said, hey, you want to pop in? That's great. And I'm sure we'll see you during the fun drive as well.
Actually, I will be in the Finger Lakes.
What?
So I will not be here that week.
This is unacceptable.
That's why I came in yesterday.
We're going to dock your pay for this. Susan Sekulli, did I hear you say you got back from Africa?
I did.
What, and the blue blazes?
I'll tell you, Ray, you've changed me up here now. I'm on the other seat.
Are you going to be okay?
And I'm not used to Carrie. Carrie and I know each other from way back, but I'm used to Crispy in here, so just...
If you're in the wrong seat, you could sit in Carrie's lap for the whole show. Just saying.
No. We don't know each other well.
How was Africa?
Africa was amazing.
What'd you do?
I did a eco-life expedition, so it was all veterinarians. So I got to visit behind the scenes and hang out with different vets. My first day there, I got to assist, I suppose, a lion being spayed.
No way.
It was so cool.
Now, are there too many lions?
No, there's not too many lions.
So why are they spaying
them? There's too many elephants. Well, these lions were rescued from like a circus or wherever, and they want to keep them together with a lion. So it's a lioness, I suppose. And to keep them together, they got to do one of them. And if they were to neuter the male, they would lose their mane. I never knew that.
So that's why
they spay the females.
Very interesting.
New fact.
You hung out with a bunch of vets, huh?
Vets, yes.
Are they party animals? Did you have a fun time?
We had some fun.
What part of Africa did you go to?
All South Africa.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All South Africa.
And
yeah.
So, do you have any jet lag, or how long have you been back?
I've been back 2 weeks now.
Oh, so, you're fine.
Yeah, I'm fine.
You'll be good.
But yeah, it's a long trip, but well worth it. The travel.
Well, I'm glad to have you both here today. The number is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Way back at 8:44 this morning, Bill wrote in, so my in-laws have just gotten a King Charles Cavalier. Living in a retirement community and with both owners having mobility issues, the expectation is that the dog will learn to use a turf pad on a screened porch to urinate and defecate. The dog is already house-trained, a 4-year-old retired breeding mama. Is there any hope in her learning to pee and poop in this new way? So far, she's not using the pad and has had accidents in the house. Thanks for any suggestions. And that's from Bill.
Well, I guess my recommendation would be to treat it as if you were getting a puppy to use puppy pads in the house.
Yeah.
And so anytime they need to keep the dog under supervision at all times until it's proven to use the pad. Yeah. And anytime it looks like it's going to squat on the floor or it starts to squat on the floor, a quick reprimand, bring it over to the pad, praise, 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 lots of happy noise. And if they can get a little of the dog's odor on that pad, either I would, you know, clean up some urine and maybe rub it into the pad or, you know, get that odor there so the dog knows that that's a spot
to go. Yeah. You know, what is this pad? I don't own a dog, so I have no idea.
I'm assuming it's kind of like an AstroTurf kind of thing.
That's what I'm thinking,
yeah,
too.
That and you can
collect it and rinse it off. And
yeah.
I can't say
I've ever heard of taking a dog that's already house-trained and trying to teach it to go in the house.
That sounds like it's a little harder to do.
Yeah.
Would putting a pad outside where they're, you know, to get them at least used to
that
the
was my
area
yep.
of where... You know, so the substrate is the same, right?
Yes.
So when they take them outside,
well,
put
it's
that
a it's retirement
down.
Community. Maybe they, you know, they're afraid of the cavalier attacking retirees outside.
Cavaliers don't attack
anything.
Okay. They're so
they are
sweet.
The sweetest dogs ever.
Tom and Gardner writes in, and this is an interesting one. Subject heading is memories. Do you ever get the feeling after your dog or cat has died that they're still around the house and that you still watch to see if they're there? Go to a psychology show for this, but what do you think?
I think you'd have to get one of those
animal communicators. That's right.
to tell you about
there.
That one.
What a great thing that is. When I retire, I'm going to be an animal communicator. Oh yeah, I'm getting a message from Fido. Oh yeah, everything's fine.
It was interesting. Someone I worked with had an animal communicator come because her dog would no longer stay in her house. Kept going out the dog door into the yard, and it didn't want to come back in the house. And the animal communicator said that it was sensing an elderly gentleman in the house, and her father had just died.
Yeah.
And then the same thing where the dog didn't want to be in the animal hospital, and after she had grown up spending every day there, and the animal communicator said it was because she could sense all the animal death that had happened in the hospital.
Okay.
I mean, the dog was a little flaky. But
all right, fair
just
enough.
To say.
Well, that's kind of a weird paranormal way to start the show. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's start in Glenville. Gary, you're on. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Ray. Hello, doctors. I always love this show, one of the best. My wife and I are at our wit's end with one of our male cats. We have three cats. They're all indoor. This one male, he's probably 7 or 8 years old. We adopted him from a shelter about 5 or 6 years ago. Very intelligent, loves to play. We've had issues in the past for him beating the heck out of our female, and we've had to separate him. The other male and him play, and they fight like males do. But he's started to become super, super aggressive to me. And we always, you know, he was always fine. My wife will go in the evening, started out maybe 6 months ago. She'll go in the bedroom and do a puzzle and listen to the radio. And he stalks me. Also, he comes in the living room if I'm reading or something. And he'll walk. He makes his weird mewing sound, walks behind the sofa. And all of a sudden, he'll leap up. I could have a flannel shirt on, a sweatshirt. He'll bite right through, drawing blood, and keep attacking me until my wife,
ouch,
you know, yells, buddy. And then he'll go running back into the room. We've had him, and it was only in the evenings. And then when I go to bed, he gets up in the bed, and he sleeps with us. Well, then it started during the day, and she could be in the room with me. And he gives me this look, puffs up, starts making this sound, and he will, you know, he'll draw blood. He'll attack
ouch
me. So the vet took him to the vet. And it's scary. I mean,
yes,
he had always in the past, every now and then, you know, he'd do this swatting at you when he'd walk by him. He'll be rubbing against you all happy, happy. You turn and walk, and he'll leap on your leg and bite you. But that was only occasionally. Well, this is, he'll walk through the house after me. He took him to the vet. Did a physical, blood work, the whole deal. He's very good health. The vet suggested different things, like trying to, when he starts doing that, try to distract him by playing. And we've got all kinds of toys and cat trees, and that doesn't do it. His mind is set on going after me.
Oh, man.
And the vet said, I have no problem with giving him a timeout, put him in the basement, and it's a big he's toys down there, his box, food, water. So we've been doing that for the last 2 months, and then he just cries at the basement door. The vet said he doesn't know. He goes, he's hesitant to try to put him on some sort of sedative because he goes, for one, it can take a while to do anything, and he doesn't know if it's going to work. But it's at the point, you know, we certainly, I'm not going to get rid of this boy. He's a he can be a love, but I mean, he's, our evenings now, I can't, or the only way I can be doing something else is if he's in the basement.
I'll interject here.
I think we
since
get the picture,
it's, since it's involving human contact and aggression, I would strongly recommend a veterinary behavioralist that you consult with. I would not try anything. I do what you're doing, separate them out, and then involve someone that can work with you specifically for this because it will escalate and get
really won't get better.
Not until you've got
it's getting
to the,
it's getting nasty. Yeah. He's drawn,
so please reach out. Cornell has a behavioralist.
Cornell does.
There's some locally, but look around and definitely involved.
Right. A behavior,
veterinary behavioralist.
All right, Gary, good luck with
certified
that.
Certified in that.
Thank you so much.
You're
okay.
welcome. Yep.
All right, thank you.
And a blow dart with a tranquilizer is not the way to go? No? All right, let's take a break. 800-348-2551, because that was my first choice, but I didn't really get a chance to jump in. All right, it's Pets and Vets today. Dr. Susan Ciculli, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. We'll be back. The girl from Ipanema. Hey, you know what? The lockbox is open. Our fun drive starts October 6th. If you want to make a pledge now and shorten that thing, we'd love it. WAMC.org. Over 400,000 in the lockbox so far as of today. So doing very well. If you haven't done it yet, WAMC.org. I love that tune. I love that version of the tune. The Marquees were so funky, and then they do that one. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Pets and Vets today. Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin join us. We could probably pot it down now, Zach. It's a nice tune, I mean, but it's time for the show. This email from Nicole. I have a 5-year-old cat who was recently diagnosed with early-stage kidney disease. Given her young age, could this be a misdiagnosis? Her kidney ultrasound came back normal, as did her blood pressure test. Her entire life, she's always drank a lot of water. Her stool has been very dry. Looks like small round pellets rather than healthy logs. Is there anything else I can look into? And that's from Nicole.
Well, on cue, I just came back from a Feline Veterinary Medical Association conference.
Look at the book.
In Portland, Oregon. And the topics were nephrology, urology, and dentistry. So how cool is that?
Well, interesting. It looks like a really fascinating
book. It was great.
So what do you think?
It was great. So there are newer things out there. There's some new additives that may help. I'm glad that an ultrasound was done already. It sounds like your vet is up on really investigating it, especially for a young cat. There's HydroCare, which is it increases their water consumption. So there are some supplements that and then just keeping monitoring. I think the specifics of all of that is they didn't find anything, you know, that looked like cystic kidneys. All looks okay.
But then why diagnose the cat with kidney disease?
Well, because the blood levels were up, most likely is what they've done.
But so, this cat drinks a lot of water. I mean,
that's always the thought, right? Oh, my kidneys are working good because they're drinking a lot of water, but that's what they do when their kidneys don't work well.
Is the cat drinking too much water?
Too much water.
Yeah, most cats don't drink very much water at all.
That's right. They're desert animals.
All right.
I always like to tell people, I mean, a diagnosis of kidney disease, people always go, oh, my God, my cat's dying of kidney disease. I had a cat diagnosed with kidney disease at 6, and he died at 19 and a half.
Wow. That's a good run.
So you never know.
Yep.
It's all about progression.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets today. We'll go to Clifton Park. And Caitlin, your turn.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for being here with us today. But my question is about my eight-month-old pit bull. Her name is Rosie. She, for months, has been limping on the hind leg. And a month or two ago, we finally got a diagnosis of a cruciate ligament injury. But the issue is she can't have surgery until her growth plates are completely closed, which they tell us is between 10 and 14 months. In the meantime, we've been doing carprofen to try to keep the inflammation down, but her right hind leg is now also starting to have a joint effusion due to the extra stress on it. And, you know, we just want to essentially maximize her health and comfort with safe options. So I was wondering if you had any other joint supplement. Oh, she's also on Flexidin. I'm sorry. If you have any other, like, joint supplement suggestions, if carprofen is okay for, like, a long-term course, like she's kind of been on it. And if you have any other just recommendations in general about her condition.
Yeah, so sorry about that. Poor girl, 8 months. That's pretty young.
That's really young.
You know, unfortunately, they've discovered most cruciate injuries are because of the way they were built.
Oh.
So her joints are not shaped correctly, and it allowed those ligaments to tear. So certainly carprofen is very safe. A lot of older dogs live on it in their last few years of life. So I don't see any reason why a young, healthy dog can't tolerate that until and after she has her surgery and is healed up. Supplements, Flexidin is excellent. That's like a glucosamine type supplement. I know the main thing is basically straight ahead on good footing as far as walking and exercise. You don't want her doing any twisting or turning. So fetch is off the list right now.
Okay.
But, you know, she can certainly go for walks. Okay. I wouldn't take her on a long hike, but, you know, a nice, good, steady walk on good, solid ground. And, you know, besides doing, there are some injectable arthritis supplements that you could talk to your vet about that might help until for the next couple of months. But it sounds like you're doing all the right things.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I appreciate your input.
No problem.
Thanks, Caitlin. Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 to St. Johnsville. And now it's time for Dawn. Dawn, go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You bet.
Can you hear me?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I have three cats. And they have, for the longest time, gotten along. I have one who's 7. I have one who's 4. And I have one that's just over 1. About 5-6 weeks ago, the youngest one has started attacking the 4-year-old, and I don't have any reason why. The middle cat, the one who's being attacked, she liked to go out. She'd go out, she'd come in, you know, she'd go out the back door, come in the front door, but she liked being in the house. But now she won't come in the house unless I go out and catch her.
Aww.
Because she's afraid of this younger cat. Even like if I'm sitting on the couch with the one, she'll jump up on the couch. The little one will jump up on the couch and start attacking the middle one.
Wow.
I'm not quite sure what this change in behavior is about, but I'd kind of like to know.
It's an age thing.
Really, will it go away?
Well, she's just now establishing her whatever she wants to be within the hierarchy of the cats, and that's sort of that age. You said how old is she, the youngest?
The youngest is maybe 16 months, 18 months at the most.
Yeah, so right around 2 or 3 is that when they
social
just
maturity.
Really establish. And so she's actually trying to be the boss now. And so it is a challenge because you want them to get along, but you also don't want to interfere because they may do something differently when you're there versus when they're by themselves.
Yeah.
I've had clients put cameras
I can't
up.
Leave them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. So the human is part of this equation.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. So, you know.
So how do I get them to be friends again?
As hard as this is, I would give the attention to the 16-month-old.
What about Feel Away?
Okay, Feel Away, the Optimum is very good too. Yep, that the plug-in, because that helps with it.
You mean like an air freshener plug-in?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh,
you
cool.
Just plug it in
Woo!
To the okay. wall. Yeah, that'll help.
Have you ever tried any of the Jackson Galaxy holistic solutions?
No.
I don't know if you've ever heard of Jackson Galaxy. He has a program on Animal
the
Planet.
Caesar Milan of Cat World.
Zach, the engineer, is nodding.
And he has some holistic solutions that he sells on his website. And I actually had a bully issue in my house, and I got some, and I think it helped. He has one for the bully. He's got one for the victim. And then he's got a one that you put in the water dishes that's sort of called Peacemaker. That's just supposed to make everybody happy. Mm. And it got my bully cat to stop immediately attacking my other cats. He would at least walk by them, and he would occasionally swat at them. But it definitely toned down the situation.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
All right,
so something to think
one
about.
Suggestion, too, is to make sure you have the collar on the bully cat. You know, so that then the other cats
can have a collar on the bully cat
that
okay.
rings, that has a bell.
Oh.
So they know where okay. that bully cat is, you know, oh. so they're not trying to sneak
oh,
up.
Oh, brilliant.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, so that has
yeah,
helped.
Very good. So they know where she is. That
yeah.
Day.
All right.
Yeah, they're both girls and they've gotten along fine. And I'm like, yeah. what is up here?
You know, and okay. when I say give the attention to the bully cat, I don't mean that in a bad way, but just sort of establish that they're both allowed your attention now instead of them fighting for your attention, if that
yeah.
makes sense.
All right, Dawn.
What is the name of that author again? I will look for that book.
Jackson Galaxy.
Jackson Galaxy.
Jackson Galaxy.
It's an interesting name.
Good luck. Keep us posted.
Dawn, thanks a lot for that one. We appreciate it. Now, these plug-in feel-away deals,
yes.
can you just get that at a pet store, or do you have to be prescribed this?
No, you can just pick those up. They're over the counter. They're excellent.
Does it work on kids?
Don't you wish?
No. Let's go to Keene, and I'm not sure if it's Keene, New York, or Keene, New Hampshire. Lawrence, where are you calling from? Lawrence, are our phones down now? Did something happen? All right, Lawrence, I'm going to put you on hold for a minute. It sounds like something is not right. Right? Let's try another one and see what happens. We'll go to Teresa in Albany. Teresa, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You're on.
Okay. I have two 15-year-old cats. They're brothers. And one of them, the tabby cat, his name is Dizzy. He, for the past 3 months, he's been defecating outside of his litter box. Mostly it was in the basement, like on his way to the litter box. But then a couple times it was upstairs, you know, where, just in the house, wherever he happened to be. And we took him to the vet. We had all the blood tests. And they said, well, let's try an antidepressant. Mm-hmm. Well, that was awful. He just was so lethargic, and it didn't help. It didn't improve his behavior. So that was about a month. And then we took him off of that. And then they said, well, let's try a probiotic. So we tried that for about 2 months, and that didn't have any effect. And so the poor little guy, he's very affectionate. He's a lovey cat. He's good in every other way. But we have to lock him in the basement at night with his litter box.
Oh, boy.
And keep him there. And he uses it. If he's in the basement in the area, and it's a nice little area. It's not, like, really gross or anything. We have a little bed for him and everything. But he'll use a litter box if he's confined there. But
all right.
We're kind of at our wit's end. We've got Feel Away going, too. I've heard you speak about that. But now we're at our wit's end. We don't know what to do.
Are there any litter boxes on the main floor?
No.
They're all in the basement.
They're all in the basement. And it's a finished basement, which is kind of rough when he goes, you know, on his way to the room where the litter box is.
I might suggest you bring one up.
Really?
On the main floor.
Yeah,
at 15 years of age, I'd be worried about maybe he doesn't want to go down, up and down those stairs. I don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
I'd start there. Are the bowel movements hard or soft?
They're very soft.
Softer. Okay. So then maybe
addressing borderline
that.
Kidney issues.
Okay.
You know, nothing that we're treating yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd look at maybe mobility, or maybe he's, you know, the softer stool is having some issues and try to address that, maybe with some diet changes.
Yeah, and they do make a probiotic now that's a proviable fiber that has a combination of probiotic and fiber, and that might help his stool quality.
That's what we were giving
quality.
Him.
Oh, that's what you were
it
giving him.
It didn't have any effect on his stools, and it didn't have any effect on his behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Diet change is where I'd go next.
Okay, and so what kind of diet would you think about? Or do you not want to open that Pandora's box?
I guess if fiber didn't work, go low residue.
Yeah, something.
So what's low residue?
Easily digestible, so it makes less poop.
Yeah, there's some. Mm-hmm. Hills has a good one, GI Biome, and Royal Canin, you know, the bigger companies make some decent foods that are specific for that condition.
All right, Teresa, good luck. Thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. Well, what do you think? You think Lawrence is available in Keene now?
Let's try.
Lawrence, are you there?
Yep.
You're on. Go. What are you in Keene, Vermont? Keene, New Hampshire? Keene, Maine? Keene, New York? Where are you?
I'm in New York.
Okay. You're on.
We're up in Canaan, New York.
Oh, Canaan. Ah, it says Canaan. That's
Canaan.
Okay. You're on. Go ahead.
We have a cat who came in as a friend 15 years ago. Aww. Wonderful animal. No complaints. Who's smarter, cats or dogs?
Clearly cats, Lawrence.
Seems to be very bright.
Wait, we got the cat owners, lovers here outnumbering the dog lovers,
all right, so
we're good.
Well, you know, there are some pretty dumb cats, too.
There are. Yeah. Well, absolutely.
I personally think it depends.
Yes,
I've had some very smart cats and some not so smart cats, and I've had a very smart dog and some not smart dogs.
What's the smartest breed of dog that you know?
Oh, gosh.
King Charles Cavalier.
I like Cavalier. The border collies, aren't they smart?
Yeah, a lot of herding breeds. Yes, herding breeds in general.
Yeah,
what do you think, Lawrence?
I'm sorry, couldn't understand the question.
What do you think? Is cat or dog smarter? What's your opinion?
Never had a dog.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to go with cats, and that's my final answer. Lawrence, thank you very much for the call. Interesting.
Yeah, that could be a day long.
Yeah. We'll have lots of callbacks on that one now.
I used to annoy people in the fun drive with that question. You know what? I might do it again. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. Martha's in Shady. Hey, Martha, how you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good. You're on.
We have a 5.5-year-old Cairn Terrier who needs teeth cleaning, but we've just come back from a very expensive trip taking him over to Europe and back, and I'd like to postpone the teeth cleaning because that's very expensive too. So are there bones that I can give him or anything else that I can give him to postpone the teeth cleaning for at least a year?
Mm. Well, I guess it depends on how bad his teeth are, because if he's got any diseased teeth, then I probably wouldn't want to postpone it too long. But if it's just a, you know, tartar buildup, if you go on, there's a website. It's the Veterinary Oral Health Council, so VOHC.org. And they have a list of what they consider to be approved tartar control chews, rinses. There's all sorts of things. What you never, ever. VOHC.org. You never, ever want to give your dog a regular bone, like a knuckle bone or, you know, cow bone. I have removed a bunch of broken teeth. Dogs from chewing on bones.
Uh-huh. So
they're too hard. Mm. I was told by a veterinary dentist, if you cannot indent it with your fingernail, it's too hard.
How about that?
Mm. Wow.
Right, because out in the wild, they eat the raw bones, right? They're the uncooked ones.
Right.
So those are safe for them,
Years ago, everybody gave their dogs bones.
Yeah.
Right.
That's changed.
Yeah. And also, how many wolves out in the wild have broken teeth?
Interesting.
Hard to know.
the extractions are very expensive too if you take your dog in for teeth cleaning, and why would a 5.5-year-old dog need that? It doesn't get bones.
They don't. They don't brush their teeth, and a lot of it is breed related. Yeah. Terriers in general tend to have bad dental health.
Poodles too.
Poodles. Chihuahuas. You know, a lot of the little breed dogs. Yeah. Although I had a big breed dog that had not great dental health, but it's so it's an individual dog issue.
That's very interesting.
Whether it's the the pH of their saliva, the whatever they just like to make tartar.
All right, Martha, thanks a lot. Now, I thought on this program, and I've been doing this Pets and Vets for years now. I thought that it was told to me that those chews, it's kind of a myth that it actually does anything. But
some
is that
them,
changed now?
No, some of them are good.
Yeah.
You know, like the, greenies, things like that.
Yeah.
I know they're on the VOHC website. Some of them do help.
Yeah.
They definitely do.
Okay. Let's take a break here. It's Pets and Vets with Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's Ray Graff with you and Carrie O'Loughlin and Susan Ciculli. Pets and Vets today. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And the number is 800-348-2551. Cindy writes in, we have two outdoor cats, one semi-tame, but she won't stay inside. With winter coming, we want to catch them and have a vet check up and keep them indoors, but they seem so miserable inside. Is it okay for them to be left out all winter as long as we continue to feed them and get them their shots? And that's from Cindy. Don't all jump at once.
I think so.
Yeah?
I do. As long as she has the space that they can hide, right, from predators at night. Like, that's my biggest scare. And then as long as they can get into places that are warm.
Yeah.
And it's not near motor vehicles, those kind of things.
Mm.
I think cats are happy outside. I know it just depends on the situation and where they live.
It does get cold, though.
It does, but they can hunker down. I mean, you should see some of these feral cats that live outside.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Cats are amazing because, you know, it could be 95 degrees and sunny, and the cat will be lying on a patio stone, and then they can handle the cold as well.
Yes,
that's neat.
Yep.
Let's go to our phone lines here. Oh, here's one more email, and then we'll go back. This is from Jeffrey. Are pets frightened by fireworks? I have a few feral cats that always come back in the morning after fireworks in our village.
Interesting. Probably.
My current cat is the first cat I've ever had that's afraid of thunder.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I don't usually see that, right?
Yeah, she. I didn't realize it until I was there one day when the thunderstorm, and she was all over the house trying to find some place to hide.
Mitchell has always been a little skittish. In fact, I know thunderstorms are coming because Mitchell hears the low frequencies way in advance.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
And comes in, kind of hangs out under a table.
So I would assume any noise phobia, sure. It's not as common as in dogs, but... Yeah, not unheard of.
All right, let's go to Morrow, New York. Diane, you're on.
Hello.
Oh, you're on. Hey. Yes, go ahead.
Hey, hi. How you doing, everybody?
Hi.
Great.
Good.
How are you?
Well, I'm good. I have a wonderful 5-year-old Yorkie, male, neutered. He's been great for 5 years. Everything great. And now he's humping everything in the house.
Ouch.
And he doesn't hump people.
Wait, what's his name?
He doesn't hump.
How wonderfully descriptive, Diane. Thank you.
His name is Spike. His name is Spike the Humper.
Oh, gosh.
And,
I
don't understand. I don't kill me. And he doesn't bother animals or people. But blankets, toys, the furniture.
Right.
I don't know what's wrong.
Is there a feel away
What
for
happened
that?
To Spike?
Do me a favor. Can we not be any more descriptive? It's already been a rough day. Can we just stop? All right. All right. Well, what do you think?
Well, I have to say I've never seen it in a dog. I've seen cats who will, neutered cats, who will do that with blankets and and things. I think it's just a weird behavior. You know, some people consider it, I don't want to upset Ray, a form of masturbation that they will do. And I think it just gives them pleasure. If he's not hurting anything, I guess I would just let him be.
He's hurting me.
I'm with you there, Diane. Let me tell you something.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he needs another surgery.
Yeah, the neutering of males is pretty straightforward. You know, spaying a female, you could leave a piece of ovary behind and they could still have hormones. But the boys,
it sounds more behavioral at this point. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean, tell him to get a room, right? So, Diane, thank you very much. And now I must move on. I apologize. Let's go to Stockbridge and see what fresh hell awaits. John, you're on.
Hi there. I have a question regarding a 8.5-month-old half Irish Setter, half Golden Retriever, who about a month ago ate and digested a $5,000 rock.
Ouch.
And he seems to be still in the habit of wanting to get rocks. We got everything covered up with fencing and everything else, but he digs holes and he comes up with a rock. I do have a mask. We hate the mask. I put it on with a treat and the whole nine yards. Will he outgrow this?
Are you talking about a diamond?
No. I think he had surgery
to get the rock out.
No, it was a rock.
Oh, I
dug up in our backyard,
like a moon rock or something.
Can you spray everything with hot pepper?
Yeah, something like that. You need to make it unpalatable.
Yeah.
So I would agree with Sue. If there's a certain area that he likes to go to or certain rocks that he tends to go to, if you can make them taste really awful.
Yep.
And you have to test them.
Taste good?
Well, no, but I mean, he just needs to learn that if I go and pick this thing up, I'm going to burn my mouth or I'm going to do something.
Right. Yeah. So hot sauce, you know.
Really?
Jolie or something.
Yep. Buy a giant bottle of Tabasco sauce.
Yeah, or you could,
water
or something. Yeah.
Right, you could probably put some in water. I mean, if you've ever gotten hot sauce in your eye, it doesn't take much to burn.
Right.
I always say do a little taste test, though, because every now and then you find a dog who really likes hot sauce.
No way.
Yeah, so I always put a little on your finger and rub it on the inside of his lip and make sure he makes a face. If he goes yum, 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 that's not going to work.
Wow.
Then you try something else.
We call him a terrorist around here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I timed him for a minute, 15 seconds chasing his tail yesterday.
Sounds like a rocket scientist.
And then, you know, the other thing, you know, is you can just work on the leave it command, you know, and teach him every time he goes near a rock, leave it, and work on getting him to know that that's not a good thing. Other than that, a basket muzzle is the only way to go.
So wait, when you say leave it, and he leaves it, then he gets a treat.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So
a good treat.
No question.
Yeah. Anytime you're teaching leave it, you want to put whatever you want him not to go after in front of him, have a treat in your hand, and if he goes near it, go, no, and then say, leave it, and then if he leaves it, then he gets a treat.
Yeah.
And just repeat.
He's definitely a treat dog.
Good.
Yeah,
okay.
Food motivated.
I will try all your suggestions.
Yeah.
John,
and there are also some good YouTube videos on teaching leave it. If you just Google YouTube videos for leave it, teaching a dog leave it, there's some good videos.
John, you got to call us back and let us know how you did with this. This is very interesting.
Never see Irish Setters anymore.
I know.
I wish Lawrence was back because, I mean, this is exhibit A that cats are smarter. Do a lot of dogs like rocks?
Wait a minute.
Come on. No cat has ever eaten a rock.
You know what I just did this morning?
What?
Took this out of a kitty cat. It's a foreign body.
What is it?
I don't know yet, but it's a plastic material. I think it was from in their flower arrangement or something.
But so, I mean, it's not a rock. It's not a rock. Rocks are hard.
But cats are known to. Oh yes.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Hair ties. Yes.
You know, so I'm going to say
string.
This has been one of the weirdest Pets and Vets ever. And we've had plenty of weird ones, but I mean, this is really.
I took a whole potato out of a dog once. It looked like it just came off the shelf. A whole potato.
It didn't dissolve?
Not at all. It was in the dog for 3 weeks. And it looked like you just took it off the grocery store shelf.
Ray, we'll let you come back on in any minute now.
No, I won't be back. By the time you guys are back, I won't be here anymore, okay? Let's go to Robert in Saugerties. Robert, you're on.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking my call.
You
I'm
bet.
Really enjoying this discussion, especially the last two calls. I have a 6-year-old cat named Panda. He's a tuxedo cat. And when he lays down, he'll get up and there'll be probably a quarter size urine spot there. I had him tested. They tested him for kidneys. They tested him for a bunch of other things, and everything is coming out fine. So I'm just wondering, you know, I thought maybe it was a botched fix, or I'm not too sure. I was wondering if you have any suggestions.
Wow, that one's a very unique one. How long's he been doing this?
Well, I've only had him for about a year and a half. He's a rescue kitty, so probably since then.
Since you've had him.
I don't know if it's been before or not.
And the urine is right where he pees, like it's in the back end. It's not like he's drooling and it's not up in his front. You're sure it's...
Correct.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
Wow. I might want to work that baby up a little bit.
Really?
Did they do any
urinary?
Do you know if they do any imaging?
Yeah.
Either X-rays or
ultrasound? Yep.
You almost wonder if he's got a congenital
urethral diverticulum.
Yeah, some sort of congenital defect in his urinary tract that's making urine divert.
That's very unusual. Incontinence
really?
in cats
really?
Is very
okay.
unusual. Yep.
Yeah.
You can see it in older
dogs
a lot.
Yeah, so either an ultrasound or an X-ray with contrast so they can see the shape of the bladder and where the urine is going.
Yep, exactly.
I think would be the way to go.
Is it something I should be, you know, overly concerned about? I mean, because I'm managing it, you know, he loves to lay on the bed and I'll put a blanket on the bed so, you know, it doesn't get through onto the mattress and the sheets and everything. And, you know, that works out fine. I don't mind, you know, washing it every once in a while.
Yeah, it's more of a...
Or when it needs to be.
It can eventually progress to a significant urinary tract infection or it can worsen. So I do think it is something that I would definitely address.
All right, Robert, thanks a lot for the call. Ashley writes in, I'm wondering if you spay a female dog earlier in life, if they will be more of an alpha female.
Probably less, right? Maybe? I don't know.
I don't know that it would make a huge
I think it's more
effect.
Personality.
I think it's
really?
More, yeah, I think it's more
you
the personality.
Could see those in a group, a litter, you know, like of pups. They're just, you can tell which ones are going to be.
Yeah. Early right? on.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Saratoga. Lynn, you're on.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I have about a 13-year-old rescue cat who is very petite, just naturally. She has a recently, 7 or 8 years ago, discovered that her tongue is about halfway severed, kind of far back in her mouth. We think it might be from when she captured a mouse one time. It wasn't there, and then it was there. And now she has these sort of small seizures that are happening. And I don't even know that their seizures are more like tremors, like if I pet her under her neck, under her chin, or along her spine on her back, she just kind of has these shaky kind of responses. Her pupils don't dilate. It doesn't take her anything to recover from it. It's just odd. And when I took her to the vet, he kind of just said, well, let's just watch it and see. No medications or anything like that, which is fine. But I don't know. You know, there's a part of me that's just curious, like, did the tongue sever a nerve that causes this? I don't know.
Huh.
Can you video it? Because that's really helpful.
I have videoed it.
Yep.
Yep, I did video it, and then that's when I took it to the vet, and he was like, yep, there's definitely a seizure-like activity.
Interesting.
Huh. I was almost wondering, does it always involve petting?
Hmm.
Or
yeah,
does
that's
it
the
happen?
Only time I ever see it.
Because I'm wondering if it's like a hyperesthesia.
No, it doesn't happen. Like,
that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, it's only when she's being touched.
Yeah. What do you wonder?
There's a syndrome called hyperesthesia where they get like they're sensitive to touch. It's like an overreaction to touch, and it can make their skin crawl and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Do anti-seizure meds work for that?
Yeah, we used to use phenobarb. Now we use gabapentin more.
Right.
For it, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's either she lives with it or, yeah, something like gabapentin would be easy enough to try.
Yeah. Is she itchy when you touch any of that? Like, is she?
No, she actually is a very, very head-butting, like, hey, mm-hmm. pet me, mm-hmm. and really pushes her, like... Yeah, she's not
march
gentle.
You.
She's like, hey,
yeah.
I want
yeah. yeah.
She marks you.
But though, So it doesn't, it's just weird. And it isn't even all the time. Okay. So.
Yeah, keep an eye. I think I'm comfortable with you sort of monitoring it and watching it and then keeping up with your own doctor about. You know, maybe the hyperesthesia or something like that. I agree.
All right, Lynn, thank you very much. We only have about a minute, maybe 90 seconds here. Let's go to Valerie in New Paltz. Valerie, let's make it snappy.
All right. Hi, I have a German short-haired pointer who's a little over 13, and the last few years his lab results have shown really sky-high lipase, so for his pancreas enzymes and sometimes abnormal liver numbers. He's had ultrasounds, which are normal, which don't show anything, really. He's had a course of antibiotics. He's had a course of, I forget, some sort of liver supplement, and I have him now on a low-fat diet. But he's totally fine. He doesn't lose weight. He eats and he poops fine. So I'm wondering... is this definitely a pancreas thing? Like, could something else be causing the elevation in his pancreas enzymes? Or if it is definitely his pancreas, is there anything else I should be doing besides modifying his diet?
Okay, we have about 30 seconds here, Docs.
So real quick, I do not put any great... I don't care about the lipase, to be honest.
Agreed.
they've really found it doesn't help a whole lot. If you wanted, there is direct pancreatic testing that can be done. A CPL will look at whether there's inflammation in the pancreas. But a low-fat diet is really about the best you can do for the pancreas. So I think you're doing what you can do in a 13-year-old dog.
It's good
excellent.
For you.
Yeah.
All right, Valerie, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you very much for the call. All right, Dr. Susan Ciculli, how do people find Just Cats?
www.justcatsvet.com.
All right, and Mechanicville's looking good?
It's great.
You're enjoying it? Okay,
loving
great.
It.
Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, we don't even need to find you. You find us. You're retired. Good for you both. Hey, thank you both for being
thank
here.
Thank you. It was great to be with
fun.
You.
Yes.
Support comes from Curtis Lumber, offering custom deck design services featuring Trex composite decking, railing, and lighting. Designer consultations available. CurtisLumber.com. And the Lake... No. Start again. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, protecting the forests, wetlands, shorelines, and ridges that protect Lake George permanently. Projects, events, and news at lglc.org. I'm going for my elocution class now, people. So we're done for the show. Thanks to everybody who called in. Sorry if we didn't get to your question. Thanks to Zach Malloy. He did a good job today. You know, Allie Peterson screened the calls. Allie, thanks a lot for doing that today, stepping up. She is one of the staff here, and she jumped in. Appreciate it. Tomorrow on the show, it's the Science Forum, and we'll learn about all things scientific. So your homework is to come up with a really ridiculous science question for tomorrow, and we'll see you, too.